RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from November 1947. The Case of the Burning Rocks. The 144th Adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Loan dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Loan returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Loan swings his way into mystery. Specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask, his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, The Case of the Burning Rocks. Chapter 1. Death Calls. The tall, tanned young man in the loose gray coat and well-weathered felt hat picked up his two bags. The Philadelphia Express was pulling into the Philadelphia terminal. Jim Darrell went down the aisle of the coach toward the closed door to the platform. In one hand he held his camera case, careful that no one struck against it. The shabby bag containing his haberdashery and weekend necessities didn't make so much difference. Darrell, a freelance news photographer, had to guard his stock and trade. The camera he carried was the key to his livelihood. If anything happened to it, he knew he would be out of business until he could have it repaired. The train stopped, air brakes hissing. Darrell was part of the procession that marched toward the exit gates. A few minutes later, he was out and under the Manhattan stars. "Taxi, boss?" A sleek new cab slid up to the curb where Darrell hesitated. Usually he didn't ride in style. The subway or a bus was good enough. But tonight he felt he owed himself a treat. Folded in his wallet was a sizable check from a Philadelphia concern for which he had done some special work. It was more money than he had made since the time he had taken on a photographic assignment for the Clarion. Pictures that had illustrated a feature story written by Steve Houston, the paper's ace crime reporter, for the Sunday magazine section. Thinking of the Clarion, Darrell climbed into the cab. Clarion Building. The taxi pulled out into the evening's traffic stream. Jim Darrell relaxed on the shiny upholstery. The events of the past 2 days, some of them cryptic and mysterious, began to crowd through his mind. Things he couldn't understand. Things that were apparently unexplainable. He shook his head, smiling thinly when he remembered the telephone call he had made to Washington before he had left his hotel. Some people, Darrell thought, had no imagination. The man he had talked to, who had hung up on him. The smile faded. He had been a big man, an important person, a senator. Darrell's eyes narrowed. Tomorrow he would either wire or write the matter out in full. Then, he told himself, Senator Future Selden wouldn't be able to cut him off. The senator would be sorry he hadn't listened when he learned what it was all about. The streets slid past. Broadway, a carnival of light, was a momentary rainbow. A few more minutes and the taxi was stopping in front of the Clarion Building. "Wait," Darrell said to his driver. He was gone no more than 10 minutes. When he returned to the cab, his tanned face mirrored a satisfied expression. He got in with a brief, "West 39th," adding a number, and relaxed again. The taxi's second stop before Darrell dismissed it was in front of an old-fashioned 5-story apartment building, one of those structures that had been built in the early 1900s, before elevators were a necessity rather than a luxury.